Emmanuel Episcopal Church Centennial Telephone Interview. You've been recommended as one of those who has a lot of history in your head about the church. How long have you been associated with Emmanuel?
We moved here in 1942.
And you've been there ever since?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. Where were you born?
Where was I born? I was born on the Rosebud Reservation.
When?
1908.
And
March 6th.
So you were married by the time you got to Rapid City?
No. We moved to Sturgis in 1916, and I was raised in Sturgis.
Oh, I see. And then you came to Rapid City in 42?
Yeah, and I was married in 31 down here in Emmanuel.
But you lived in Sturgis at the time?
We lived in Sturgis, but we didn't have a priest up there.
Oh, I see. So you were married in Emmanuel in 1931. Who was the priest then?
Well, Prosser was his name, but we were married by David Clark, who was here for a convention.
Okay, would you repeat those names, please?
Let's see. What was Prosser's first name? I can't think of it. See, now I'm not very smart. Well, anyway, this is Prosser was his name. He probably has found some records about him.
Prosser.
Yeah.
Yeah, P-R-O-S-S-E-R.
Right.
He was the priest at Emmanuel.
That's right.
And who was the priest
that
married
him? David Clark was here that day. Prosser was out of town, and they were having an Indian convention, whatever they called it, at that time.
So was David Clark, Father David Clark, from?
He was from Fort Pierre.
Uh-huh.
And he was here with the Indian convention. I had known him. He married
him. Had you been coming?
This was between services.
That's unusual, isn't it?
I know. That's what I say. Now they have to have all the regalia, you know.
Uh-huh.
But we had made arrangements before that.
Now, had you been coming to Emmanuel off and on before that, or was this your first time here?
Well, we had been down, and we had the priest from here was preaching in Sturgis. He came back and forth. He only stayed at our home. That was my father.
Uh-huh.
So, we got to know him.
Then what was the circumstances of your coming to Rapid City in 42?
Everett got a job down here at Camp Rapid. And down here. He commuted for a while. And for that time, I had two children.
Mm-hmm. So you became regulars at Emmanuel at that time and
hadn't
been there?
Yeah, we started going to church right away. And moved down here on March 1st.
You were raised Episcopalian, were you?
Yes, I was.
And, so you were, go ahead.
Well, I was baptized by Bishop Roberts before he was a bishop.
Mm-hmm.
In 1912.
Uh-huh.
That was down on the reservation.
Yeah. Are you part Indian?
No, I'm not. What? My father was what they called the boss farmer.
Oh, I see.
He worked for the Department of Interior.
No, I didn't think you were part Indian, but it's always well to check. So, in your years at Emmanuel, you were married there. None of your children were baptized there, I don't suppose.
No, they were married. They were baptized in St. Thomas.
But were some of them married there?
Yes. My daughter was married there.
Her name is?
Esther Park. Esther and Wayne Park.
Mm-hmm.
They got married by Jerome Pike.
Oh, yeah.
And our granddaughter was married by Father David.
Father David Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the outstanding memories you have about Emmanuel?
I taught Sunday school there for I don't know how many years. And we used to teach Sunday that is where the parking lot is. And then, of course, all this building went on after we were there. That built on the parish house, which it is now. You see, the church used to end right before the parish house. Library.
You said you taught Sunday school where the parking lot is.
Well, yeah, they had a house there. Janitor used to live in the house that we used to have Sunday
school. Well, it was a dwelling house.
I beg your pardon?
It was a dwelling house?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a good clue. We hadn't heard of that before.
Oh, hadn't
you? No. When was that removed?
When they got ready to build that cherry chop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
we can check that.
So there will be some dates on that. And they took that house out.
So there were she taught Sunday school. Were there other activities in the janitor's home?
Well, they called, well, the janitor wasn't living there then. Then they gave it to the janitor after we taught Sunday school. He used to just teach Sunday school in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And had, well, like I'd have my class in the middle and somebody else.
Are some of those Sunday school students members now?
Beverly Truel.
Mm-hmm. Beverly Truel.
And I don't know whether Connie Lanch is still here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of any others right now.
What?
Beverly.
What's the outstanding thing in your memory regarding the church?
Since I wasn't here when the president was here, that was 36. I remember that, but then, of course, we wouldn't be allowed in because we were in the church now. I think the building project was well up. So him raising money to put on that kitchen and get the building done, you know, and like carpet and stuff like that.
Did any of the people pitch in with their own hands and labor, or was it all hired?
Not much. Yes, a little bit, but not a whole lot. Because he used to go down and do quite a bit, but then they didn't really like building.
Gail March was telling me about that old monster. She say, throw in a match and run for your life.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't have pilot license.
She mentioned that very thing.
Yeah, and then we used to ever did a lot of the maintenance work, you know, around.
You could give me a lot of advice on that.
Yeah, he was on that for years, on the building committee, just kind of keep things going.
I think I hear him in the background. Would he have some salty comments for this?
Do you have any more comments? He's laughing at me now.
Tell him we'd be glad to have him among the interviewees.
On the interview?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to talk to him?
Sure.
I can't talk over the phone too good because his hearing aid swivels sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But I'll see if he can make it.
All right. Good morning. Can you hear me all right?
Oh, yeah. I took my hearing aid out.
Should I yell real loud?
Oh, I can hear you fine.
Good. You know what we're up to? We're putting together this centennial book on the parish.
Yeah.
And you're one of the real old timers around there. Do you have anything to tell in the way of remembrances, funny or sad or outstanding?
Well, really never had too much excitement.
What's your outstanding memory about the church?
Well, my outstanding memory about the church is that it seemed to me they were always progressive.
Who was?
Always progressive.
The church was?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You were on the vestry.
Yeah, I was on the vestry.
This has been an interview with Nettie, N-E-T-T-I-E, and Everett Rambo, R-A-M-B-O-W, a telephone interview on September 17th, 1986 in Rapid City, South Dakota. That is the end of the interview.
Hello.
Clara Lobdell?
Yeah.
Brewer and Emmanuel?
No, my grandmother was probably a charter member.
Uh-huh.
Archie Bangs and my grandmother, Mrs. Sarah D. Bangs or Mrs. A.W. Bangs. I'd like to know if she's on your charter list. Have you ever found it?
Well, I haven't looked. No, my informant says your grandfather was a founder. Is that correct?
Well, I would say my grandmother probably accepted in those days women didn't do things in their own name.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he probably was. They came from North Dakota. Northern Dakota Territory to Rapid City. The grandfather came in the winter of 1888, probably, and the mother and children came in the spring of 1889 after school was out in Grand Forks.
Mm-hmm.
And your church wasn't founded until after that.
Well, it was founded in 87, at least that's when they laid the cornerstone.
Oh, well, he would be They would have been in the early memberships after they got here in 1889 or 1888. But they weren't here in 1887.
Oh, yeah.
And what I know is peripheral. As I say, I used to go to Emmanuel once in a while with a girlfriend who was Episcopalian. To me, it was a great big mystery, all this jumping up and down and saying prayers and stuff, because I'm congregational.
You're congregational. You don't do that, no.
No. Well, my father was raised Episcopalian. My mother was raised Baptist. So when they were married, they had a friend who was a lady congregational minister. And through that, they compromised, you see. My mother had been originally congregational when she was a tiny child. She came in 1886 at the age of four. That was Mrs. Steve Banks.
And, repeat that name?
Eva Banks, Mrs. Steve Banks.
Okay.
And her folks were Baptists from Ohio, and there was the congregational was the only Protestant church running in Rapid City in 1886. So they went there until the Baptists got organized in 89.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother went to Congregational Sunday School to Mrs. Gossage from 1886 to 1889. And she said she never really wanted to move with her folks. She always felt like she belonged in the other church. And I went to school to Sunday School to Mrs. Gossage, believe it or not. But my kids, Mrs. Gossage, gone by the time my kids came along. They went to Miss Feigl.
What was grandfather's name?
A.W.
A.W.
Alfred W. Banks.
Banks.
Archie and I, our first cousins, our grandfather came here and started a law office in Rapid City, leaving a law office with his older sons in Grand Forks. And the Grand Forks office ran till 20 years or so ago when the last of our cousins retired or died off or something. Archie business is still running here. A.W. Banks' name is still on the letterheads, I think. Mm-hmm. Used to be, anyway.
Archie, bring me up to date on Archie. Who is Archie?
Archie Banks, the lawyer.
Uh-huh.
Now, he was congregational more than he was Episcopalian. They went to both. But he was divorced, and at that time, the Episcopalian Church did not remarry either party to a divorce. So he was remarried in the Congregational Church. But he was very active in whichever saint lives in the west end of town. I have an awful time with those, just Saint Charles. He was active in that. But our grandparents probably were, if not charter members, depended on when they dated their charter. And I'd like to know that. Dig those up.
We'll dig that up, yeah.
I don't know if you've got the records.
Oh, I think they got pretty good records.
I hope they have. I know we congregationalists do. We have the first minute book and all the other minute books. But it's an old notebook written in black ink that's turning brown, but it's still readable. Has a few old scandals in it.
Yes.
Where they excommunicated a man because of his, can't remember how they worded it anyway. He had apparently been a little too lively and refused to repent.
Oh, that's
so they booted him out. It wasn't what he did, but he didn't repent.
Okey-dokey.
Well, anything I can help you with, but I don't have much of anything that you wouldn't have access to. There was along in 1936, the journal got out a issue of, 50 years or something or other. And it has a history of the various churches in it. And I have copies, and we have copies down at the Minnelusa Museum.
Good.
And so on. They're easier to read than microfilm.
You bet.
A whole lot.
That's a good clue. We'll follow that up.
Forgotten exactly what it was I read of yours just the other day in the guide, but I chuckled over it because you had some real cute little things in it.
Well, thank you.
I can't remember. It was a front page article. And I just remember that you had some cute little quirks of humor. humor in it.
Well, we try every now and then. Nice when people notice.
Yeah. Anything that you can, and as I say, I have got these papers. I'm still trying to move from the old house where we lived since 1929, and I've only been at it a year. So I haven't got papers and things sorted out, filed yet, all that stuff that was in boxes.
No,
but I think I can find those journal things, and I know Robert can find them down at the museum. But the journal got out, a real good edition that had the histories of the women's clubs and the men's clubs, too, but there weren't very many of them, and so forth, up to 1936.
Well, good, we have that.
Some church stuff.
We have that date from you now. It should be easy to find.
Yeah.
I certainly do thank you.
July, I think. July 36th.
We'll look there.
July 6th or somewhere along in there. Because you see, I guess maybe it was a centennial of the railroad coming in. Anyhow, the journal found an excuse to put out a memorial edition.
Well, wonderful. That'll be
a lot more advertising.
That'll be very helpful to us.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Bye. That was an interview with Clara Lobdell, L-O-B-D-E-L-L, telephone interview.